mic with your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
What up? It's me, your boy.
And we're doing more what we're calling a supplemental episode because there's just been so much shit happening that we need to cover it now before.
I'd rather just call it What the Fuck Wrestling. It's only February.
For the record, that is the official title, but I can't put that on the website and social media. But yes, this is a supplemental episode. There's been a lot of news coming out of Japan, AEW, TNA, and WWE that we kind of just need to cover it now so when we do the regular episode later this month, we're not bogging the entire episode down with all this news.
Yeah, we seem to have this unerring ability to release an episode and then the universe of wrestling goes, you know what? We're just going to lose our fucking mind. Because we're not recording February's episode till the end of the month, by then there could have been a whole bunch more revelations and stuff like that. So we would end up spending the entire episode talking about that and not talking about what we're actually going to be talking about.
Right.
The which could be getting a little extreme.
Yeah, and like a case in point of something, when we recorded the November episode, later that night after we had recorded the episode, CM Punk debuted in WWE. Yep. When we dropped our January episode, literally days later, and something we'll discuss in a moment, the whole Vince McMahon stuff. So it's like, we need to touch base on this stuff a little bit before we do another episode.
Yeah.
So starting first, we're going to do a little bit of a Japan AEW thing because Bushiroad announced that they were terminating the contract of Stardom founder Roshi Ogawa for apparently, from what they're saying, was poaching talent and employee
contact tampering.
Yeah.
As we would know it a little bit better in the States.
And as we now know, Ogawa is now going to be starting a new women's wrestling promotion in Japan, which recent WWE signee Julia is actually going to be pushing back her WWE debut to actually help start up that new promotion. But it wasn't just that news that was kind of irrelevant. It was also how Tony Khan of AEW reacted to the whole thing. Because Tony, the moment that the announcement came out from Bushiroad, Tony was pretty much tweeting up a celebratory storm going like, ding dong, the bitch is dead, essentially.
Tony Khan?
Yeah.
Acting out on Twitter?
No.
Surely you jest, Michael.
No, not at all.
He would never do such a thing.
Never.
How very dare you even insinuate such a thing?
But we ended up finding out this week that the reason Kairi Sane left Stardom or didn't re-sign with Stardom was because she knew that Ogawa was eventually going to be leaving or being let go, and which is why she re-signed with WWE.
And there's a theory that that's why Julia left as well, right? Which seems to be underlined by her doing the whole
delayed debut. Yeah. But one person who has worked with Stardom a little bit, but is coming to AEW through a very obvious Easter egg on Wednesday's announcement, is one Mercedes Moné, who is coming to AEW because Tony announced that they're coming to Boston on March 13th, which is literally right after WrestleMania, or no, right after Revolution, my bad.
Yeah.
Wrong pay-per-view. So, and of course, in the graphic, as we all noticed, it said Boston with two S's.
Which were dollar signs.
Yeah, and we ended up finding out through Fightful and Andrew Zarian that Mercedes Moné has actually been signed with AEW since January.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
However, we should also note there is still a possibility because of the dollar signs that Okada could still be coming to AEW. You know, double debuts have happened in AEW before.
Yep.
As you mentioned, Ben, in our group chat, you know, when they did Danielson and Adam Cole.
Yep.
You know, it is possible for Okada, but it'll be interesting to see what he does because it is much more quiet on that side of things. for him.
Yeah, like if I was Okada, I'd be taking like a couple of months off. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk more about him later this month.
Can we talk about what the two very big things? Like, I've talked about this quite a lot in our group chat.
Ben, I think you need to sound off on something.
It's Sasha. I mean, Mercedes.
No. I was talking about the other thing.
I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Right. Sasha, apparently, when she and Naomi, I keep saying Sasha, when Mercedes and Trinity walked out of WWE, it was over what we've been led to believe is their displeasure with the way that the booking was occurring in the women's division. I'm not mistaken in that, am I, Michael?
No, they were in particular upset about like how the women's tag team titles were being booked, which they were holding at the time.
At no point ever did she ever get to use that again. There is no way someone who has complained about booking in the past signs with AEW thinking they're going to be booked well. Take one look at that women's division. It is so one-dimensional. And I feel so bad for Deonna Purrazzo. Because even if she does beat Toni Storm, you know she's just getting fed to Mercedes. Right?
Yeah. Like, we haven't seen Britt Baker in a while. We haven't seen Hikaru Shida in a while. They're now, like, I guess trying to create kind of a women's tag division because you got Julia Hart and Sky Blue together and Chris Statlander with Willow Nightingale now.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's very confusing. And one report that I did read this morning before we hopped in was that apparently bringing in Mercedes, there's a mission statement to make the women's division more meaningful in 2024.
Okay.
And when I read that, I said, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
because
but you don't get to play the
can't play the martyr.
You can't play the card of, oh, I'm so worried about booking, and then go to a place where the booking is historically awful.
I feel like in a way Ring of Honor is doing a better, like the Ring of Honor booking of the women's doing better with how they're doing using Athena and Nyla, but
even then, it's just put a title on someone, let them defend it a lot.
But
it's like, put the title on someone who can wrestle, let them defend it. Like,
but something that's also tells me
booking 101.
Yeah, but something also tells me that, you know, I think there's also a general push between them to kind of also create their own content to kind of force the issue too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Case in point, Danhausen.
Yeah. Been basically been saying, like, I just want to wrestle. I want indie bookings. But the other thing that I think is coming out of this is EK just needs to stop hyping these massive announcements. And if you do hype a massive announcement and that massive announcement is then spoiled like 6 hours before you actually are supposed to make the announcement by, of all places,
the venue,
Ticketmaster, at least make fun of that or announce something else, or you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean,
Tony has this
he did make a note, like, oh, as mentioned by the venue this morning.
No, but that makes it sound like it was planned.
Yeah. But yeah, I think
he has this unerring ability to be like, I'm going to make a major announcement, and then it just not be
good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's AEW. Let's move on.
Yep. So with that, as I alluded to, Ben, I think you need to sound off.
What the fuck are Anthem doing?
If you haven't been able to figure out by that comment, we're talking about TNA wrestling now.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
So we found out this past week that one Scott D'Amore has been relieved of his duties as the president of TNA Wrestling. Essentially, this guy, I believe Andrew Ciccone, I believe his name is, who is already the president on the Anthem side, is now taking over as the TNA Wrestling president as well. And the whole point of it is to integrate TNA more into Anthem when it comes to like how they do business. Obviously, it's not sitting well with a lot of the talents for obvious reasons, especially when they did their talent meeting the day at, the day of D'Amore's release.
When they lied to the talent.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they put one thing in the press release and said another thing to the talent. However, in the coming days, there have been reports about how both D'Amore actually tried buying TNA Wrestling with legitimate backing from a major banking institution, which Anthem ultimately rejected. Apparently, D'Amore had been fighting Anthem over the budget because Anthem wants to do it on a bare bones budget, which is not great, especially the fact that, you know, let's be honest, D'Amore had to eventually take whatever scraps he had to rebuild this entire brand from when it was like first brought in the Anthem to where it is today. Like, he had to rebuild it completely, and it's like to take the budget and just say we're just going to focus on tapings and the pay-per-view commitments and that's it, nothing else. I think that is not going to bode well for the future of TNA if they just nickel and dime it. And that was something that he fought them about. And he also, apparently, this came out yesterday, but apparently he wanted to bring in Braun Strowman, and Anthem actually scoffed at his asking price, thinking that he wouldn't be bring in big buzz or anything like that.
He wouldn't. They were right. So. But I am sure that there are other people that he's wanted to bring in that would be an actual
draw.
Thing for.
Yeah.
It
just doesn't sit right at all.
Yes, you're correct. Scott D'Amore, it just, as you said, he kind of have rebuilt that thing that plays up from the ground up. And TNA got to where it is now because of Scott D'Amore. And it got there because Scott D'Amore is beloved backstage, and because of everything that's been going on with him and managing the talent and booking great stories and all of that, right?
Yep.
However, we have to be very real here. There was the initial meet where, so TNA put out the press release saying that they have terminated his contract. They then had a video meeting where they told the talent that, Scott had stepped down, which didn't sit well with everyone because the press release was already out. And then there was a further second meeting. In that meeting, by the way, Anthony Cicero didn't do anything other than read a pre-prepared statement. There was then a second meeting that was chaired by Tommy Dreamer and Gail Kim, where it got so bad that they had to like mute everyone on the video call because everyone was just barking questions down. I fully expect TNA to start hemorrhaging talent. After the way people reacted to her, I can see Jordynne Grace in WWE real quick. Like, real fast.
Yep.
Josh Alexander is going to be able to go wherever he likes.
And one of the interesting notes out of that second meeting that you mentioned, Ben, is Tommy Dreamer did say at the end, if anyone wants a release.
No, he was, that never actually came to pass.
Oh, that never did.
There were rumors that that was the case, but that never actually happened.
Okay.
Because otherwise, TNA wouldn't have a roster right now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I think they know that. They knew that. But seriously, how do you get someone that has built you up so much and then just be like, yeah, we're doing this now?
And not only that, but not just...
And replace them with someone who doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
It's not just also, you know, build it back up, but also create relationships.
Yeah.
You know, with other promotions, like he was able to bridge or, you know, help rebuild the bridge with him with TNA and Okada, because Okada had not been in TNA for like, what, 11 years? Because when he was last there, it was left a really bad taste in his mouth. The whole thing with WWE of getting Mickie James and Jordynne Grace into respective Royal Rumbles, the business with AEW during the pandemic, you know, Moore did so much to not just build it back up, but to make it a place that can do business with other promotions as well.
He made it the center of the USA web.
Yeah.
Because he worked that, like, let's be honest, like, Impact was working with, at one point, Impact was working with AEW, WWE, New Japan, and CMLL all at once.
Yeah. That's impressive. You know, talk about forbidden doors. TNA was the real forbidden door.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I want to rant and rave, but it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to disturb my neighbors. Also, let's be honest, right? Everyone knows what I'm going to say. Everyone knows what I'm going to go off about. It's just... I never thought I'd be saying these words, but to quote Rebby Hardy, fuck that owl.
That's a very interesting quote to hear you say, sir. But
yeah. I loved Impact. Loved Impact. I'm one of the people that didn't want it to go back to being TNA, right? And I feel that Anthem may have fallen into the trap of like, oh, we're back to being TNA now. We're going to be like, our shows are going to start selling themselves.
Which you need people who know how to book and promote said things to make them sell themselves.
That being said, if, because that happened, what, Thursday? Wednesday,
I think.
If Scott D'Amore wasn't working at WWE by, like, Wednesday night, someone fucked up.
Well, we also don't know what the no-compete clauses are.
If you're terminating someone's contract, they shouldn't get a no-compete clause.
It depends.
They might do, but they shouldn't.
Yeah. But
that's like saying we're firing you, but you can't work for anyone else. That's bullshit.
Well, let me put it in perspective like this. We don't know what potential severance terms there could have been as part of said.
Yeah.
There is a legitimate severance that could have a no-compete clause attached to it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I err on the caution of that as being someone who's been laid off and put on severances twice. Luckily, never a no-compete clause in any of those, but for me. But it will be interesting to see where Scott goes. I think we all mutually agreed in our group chat that if Scott goes to AEW, Tony should just hand him the book and go, here you go.
Just hand him the book and leave.
Yeah. Don't do any more announcements on TV. But he would also be a great boon for WWE as well, whether it be through NXT or on Raw or SmackDown. He would flourish in either role, whatever role he gets in WWE as well. So
lots of people are like, oh, if he goes to AEW, Tony just needs to hand him Ring of Honor. No, he needs to hand the whole damn thing.
Yeah. I think everyone's in mutual agreement on that one. Just Tony, give him the book. He knows what he's doing. So with that, we're now gonna go into the ugly. And potentially somewhat okay after what happened the last two nights in WWE.
Yeah.
So we'll just kind of state it because we brought it up on the last one. Obviously, we have the whole Vince McMahon situation. We've heard more information. John Laurinaitis' lawyer has spoken out claiming he is the victim in all of this. We've heard from Ashley Massaro's lawyer about her rape allegations from when they did the tour in Kuwait in 2006. It's just going to get a lot uglier.
Yep.
Let's just be honest. It's going to get a lot uglier. And we're not going to say much because we need a lot of this to just play out. Like, we will do occasional updates when things come up, but we're not going to beat a dead horse, essentially, or what could become like a dead horse.
Yeah, long story short, if the allegations against Vince and the allegations that have come up in the Ashley Massaro thing are absolutely heinous, regardless of whether they are true or not, the actual acts are heinous. If they turn out to be true, yeah. I mean, what do you want us to say? Like, I'm not going to sit here and break it down. It's just fucking disgusting. Yeah.
And even Seth Rollins has said as much too recently in an interview. I believe that was yesterday or Thursday. But jumping into the thing that everyone else is also talking about when it comes to WWE.
And I don't want it to seem like we're glossing over the Vince McMahon stuff. It's just, it's heinous, it's awful, it's disgusting, it's gross. And if I'm honest, I don't want to be like, I want to acknowledge that it's there and that proceedings are moving forward, and that I hope everyone who, if it's true, that everyone who is involved gets what's coming to them. But it's not the sort of thing I want to be talking about. I'll leave that to people who know the situation better and can actually, like, judge it.
Yeah.
And that have evidence and things like that.
Yeah, and
is it are the accusations heinous? Yes. Are we downplaying it? Yes, but that's mainly because it's not the sort of thing we want to be talking about. We're not downplaying the severity, it's downplaying how much we're going to talk about
it. Yeah. And for those who follow my hockey content know that I'm also dealing with the same thing on the hockey side of things with sexual abuse and stuff like that because of the 2018 World Junior Championship Canadian team that's happening right now. It's not that I don't want to talk about it, it's just I'm letting the people who know what the hell they're talking about talk about it and sharing their stuff to help kind of keep it in the conversation and stuff like that. So it just, you know, it's not an easy thing to talk about too. That's the other thing. So, but moving on into the last bit that we have of all the news, it's well, The Rock.
Yeah.
So
good luck with this one, buddy.
Oh God. So as everyone knows, on January 3rd, The Rock became a member of the TKO board. And since then, we've been learning more and more about the details of his contract, like obviously getting the rights to the name of The Rock. And apparently one thing that we've learned in the past week is that apparently having a match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40 was something that was agreed to within the contract. Well, I don't think it's going to be happening the way they all thought. Because now, as officially of Thursday, and actually even reconfirmed last night on SmackDown, and for the record, I keep referring to like last night and stuff like that, because we are actually releasing this the day we're recording this, which is a rarity for us.
Yep. It's a same day thing.
Yeah. Triple H, Paul Levesque, confirmed on SmackDown last night that it will in fact be Cody Rhodes taking on Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania for the undisputed WWE Championship. I want to note that because he did not say,
title.
Because he did not say Universal when he named it. But on Thursday night, you had Seth Rollins come out as part of the kickoff, and it should be noted that apparently beforehand the press was actually told there will be no questions asked whatsoever in the press release.
Well, it's weird, right? Because they didn't do a press conference as per a regular press conference, but then afterwards the press had access to people. Yeah. Or it was before, it was one of the two, because there were interviews from the site, yeah. Right?
But the thing is, though, is that those front rows were all press people.
Yeah.
Should be noted. All front rows were all press.
But the point being is they said that there would be no things, but there were.
Yeah. And the biggest reason was, I think, because they didn't want the kickoff to be bogged down with people trying to ask The Rock about Vince. Because on Pat McAfee's show earlier that day, Pat did not mention anything about Vince during the whole time he interviewed The Rock.
Yeah.
I
don't think it was necessary they wanted to be asked that. I think they wanted to just be able to
do their thing,
play their hand the way they played it.
Yeah.
But before we get to talking about The Rock, though, and the whole situation that has appeared, because I'm sure you're going to go into full details of what happened on the previous week's SmackDown. I would like to, at this point, quote one Charles Montgomery Punkington and say the sheer fact that Bailey isn't involved in any of this press is an absolute shame.
Yes.
Need to put some respect on her goddamn name. The fact that Bianca's being pushed on the poster and Bailey's not, I'm sure there are reasons for that. But the fact Bailey wasn't even at the press conference, not okay with that. I'm sorry. It's I hate it. And I hate that Bayley's not kicking off more about it on TV. Yeah, she's got other things to kind of worry about at this point. But I don't, like, I know she had a segment on the bump, but to quote Mike, who watches that anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I knew what Bayley said on the bump was because I read the thing on one of the sites where they transcribed it.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I mean, well, let's also be honest, you're showing the bump in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, you know, when people are at work. How are we going to sit down and watch that while we're at work?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but to quote Mike, who watches that anyway, and he's got a point. Bayley should be kicking off about that on TV. Like, if you give her a couple of really good promos about that, you've built her to a firestorm level.
Right? At the kickoff thing, Becky Lynch wasn't even promoted for the thing, and she came out in it and had to face off with Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. So what they're trying to do is, because we already know Bayley's match for Mania, right?
Yeah.
And everything about the presser was about stuff we didn't know.
Yeah, and I,
because we had Bianca come out and we had Becky come out, and those are the first two qualifiers for the Elimination Chamber, which just telegraphs that one of the two of them is probably going to win it, and it's probably going to be Becky.
Yeah.
Right. Or Bianca, because she's on the poster already, right? It just doesn't sit well with me. Like,
I still think Bayley should have come out and maybe interrupted Bianca and just be like, "Yo, you don't even have a match. I won the Rumble.
Put some respect on my name."
Yeah, put some respect on my name. You know, I'm going to Mania. I'm going to take on Io Sky for the title, which hilariously Rhea Ripley did call Io Sky Io Shirai.
I did notice that. Yep.
Yeah. You know, because I know the crowd would pop for that if Bayley came out and did that, because of the fact that that's what a lot of people are saying, and the reaction she got on SmackDown last night was pretty evident of that too.
Yeah.
Because
anyway,
one last point. To go to that, you and I have said this before. When 2020 and the pandemic happened, hands down, MVP, Bayley.
Bayley, 100%. Yeah.
So she should get the respect on her name. But anyways, now we're going to move on to all the other stuff.
Yeah, go ahead and outline everything with the
so we're going to
side of things since the Royal Rumble.
All right, so we're going to outline the TV side of things. We're going to, and then we'll talk about the behind the scenes. So, Rumble, Cody wins. On Raw, Seth makes a pitch to Cody to say, hey, maybe come to me because...
Now, talking about Cody winning the Rumble for a moment,
yeah,
there are all kinds of rumors that Punk was supposed to win the Rumble, but it was an audible at the last minute because Punk got hurt. Those people who believe that, I point to the pre-printed shirt that Cody already had backstage that said Royal Rumble winner on it.
It's not like in sports championship games where they have both teams printed up, just be on the safe side. No, it's that was predetermined. But on the Raw after Mania or Rumble, Seth Rollins made the pitch saying, go for the title that your dad made instead of going for the Hollywood title. Then on SmackDown, Cody comes out, talks to Roman, says, I've been having conversations with people. Out comes The Rock. You know, Rock and Roman do the face-off with Cody leaving the ring, which then leaves all these questions in doubt. Then comes Thursday. I'm skipping Raw on purpose because nothing really truly came out of Monday Night Raw. Except for a lot of Rocky sucks chants and we want Cody chants. Thursday comes along.
I mean, we do have to talk about Monday because Monday Night Raw was, let's be honest, should have been called Monday Night Pivot.
Yeah.
Because they were doing everything in their power to react to the fan backlash that happened over the weekend.
Yeah. So yes, as Ben mentioned, Monday Night Pivot, which brings us to Thursday. Rollins comes out first, and he does his whole, you know, spiel and everything like that. Calls out, or technically does introduce Cody to come out, but instead Roman comes out. And Roman's like, well, Cody hesitated, so I'm going to make the decision for him, and I'm going to decide who faces me. Which Rollins, as you watch him the entire time, is like, you don't make that
decision. But that's not how that works.
Yeah, that's not how that works. You don't make that decision. To which then Roman's like, oh, get this trash off my stage, which Rollins stays on. And then Roman says, oh, I'm going to face The Rock. Rock comes out. They do this whole thing about the bloodline, and they show the family tree and all this other stuff. And then Cody then comes out and says, this is bullshit, which massive props for this, because they actually let this be as organic as possible, or make it come off as organic as possible.
Mm.
And Cody says, no, I choose Roman Reigns. I'm facing you. And, you know, obviously this whole lead up had also been like talking about Dusty and everything like that. And you can kind of tell how it's kind of irritating Cody, because it's like, you know, he hears it all the time, even backstage, not in story and stuff like that. So he brings up Roman's grandfather. He brings up Rock's grandfather and says, if they were here today, they would be ashamed. To which then The Rock slaps Cody, which Logan Paul apparently was watching live and filming his reaction and said, that's assault by a TKO board member on an employee, which was funny. And then essentially a brawl breaks out with Rollins stepping up for Cody. And The Rock pretty much saying, we can do whatever the fuck, I can do whatever the fuck I want, you know. And then they confronted Triple H backstage when he was doing an interview, and they're saying, like, you better fix this, which then led to last night on SmackDown, where Triple H essentially said, it's Cody versus Roman for the title at WrestleMania. That's the main event. They also introduced the Elimination Chamber qualifiers for the person who will then eventually go to face Seth Rollins at Mania. And next week on SmackDown, we're going to have Rock and Roman with the wise man Paul Heyman essentially confronting Triple H. That's kind of where we are on the TV side of things. Which leads me to one question for you, Ben. Night one, do we see a tag match of Rock Roman versus Cody Seth?
Do you want what I think or what I want to say?
Think and then what you want to say.
What I think is probably at this point. What I want to say is, I don't give a fuck. Keep The Rock away from WrestleMania.
I will say there was one moment I saw this. I kind of noticed it when I watched the kickoff live, but then when they showed it as a reel on like Facebook, they're showing CM Punk in the aftermath, and Rock and Roman are still on stage.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they can hear what they're saying on that.
Oh, yeah.
Channel. And CM Punk, I love the fact that they had him and Big E on there.
I love the bit where Punk was like, where were you all in 2013?
Yeah. But Punk was like, you know, after the whole, you know, Cody needs to step up. He needs to punch somebody in the face. Like, Rock should have been punched in the face. And then he turns to the crowd and goes, how many of you wanted to see Cody punch Rock in the face? And you see The Rock in the background, literally turning around, staring at CM Punk.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you just planted the seeds of what, like you said, 2013. So, like, that was a neat little moment, because it's like, yeah.
So, the reason everything played out the way it did on Thursday was the We Want Cody hashtags, really. Let's be honest. For those of you who didn't know, after the event, happened on the Friday where The Rock came out. The wrestling community, I don't think it is, I don't think it's unfair to say, lost its goddamn shit. Insofar as the hashtag We Want Cody was trending on Twitter for three straight days. And stuff like that. Now, there will forever be debate about whether this was a working McWorkington from the beginning or not. But the fact of the matter is there was this uproar, which is why Monday Night Raw turned into Monday Night Pivot that I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
Everything they were doing were mentioned. Cody's been trending number one worldwide for 3 days. Say, we want Cody. They didn't say why he'd been trending. He had. When the Rocky Sucks chants were happening, Michael Cole literally turned around and with what might be the best line he said in 5 years, said, what is it, 1996 again? Which I loved. They weren't shying away from it, right? And they lent into it. And if this had been the plan all along, fine. If it hadn't been the plan all along, they did a fantastic job of leaning into it. And what the solution they came up with, the playoff on that press conference, was so good. It was exactly what they needed to do. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like it made me, like, I was not originally going to watch the kickoff because usually those things are not really worthwhile, but with everything leading up to this one, it was like, I have to watch this. I need to see what's going to happen. And I was like, oh shit, this is something. So it had meaning, which is sometimes a rarity for some of those things.
Yeah, I loved it. As I said, the undercard stuff wasn't great. And like I said, it wasn't exactly a press conference. It was just like promos as if they were on SmackDown or something. But yeah, I have to give them props for the way they've played this. Even if they didn't, right? If it was a work all along, it was a masterfully done one, right?
Yeah.
If it wasn't a work all along, sure, they were a little tone deaf at the beginning, but honestly, I can see them. I can see the train of thought, right? Not that anyone's going to like it, but I can see the train of thought.
Yeah.
And as I said, if it wasn't a work all along, I can see the train of thought that would start it. And the way that they reacted to the reactions was pitch perfect, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The situation they've built themselves into is more interesting than anything. And I do mean anything that has been going into a WrestleMania for a while. And it's quite funny, as I said in our little group chat last night, WWE has all this stuff going on, and then AEW has the Young Bucks come out and cut a You People promo. It's like, come on.
It's actually funny too, because like with The Rock on the board now, like there had been talk about like apparently Brian Gerwitz is back because he's going to be at all the major shows, and like according to reports, like with Punk getting hurt, the whole Vince stuff, that Rock needs to come in to save WrestleMania. You mean like what you tried to do to the Fast and the Furious franchise in the
In the
DC
DC universe, yeah.
universe? Yeah, like how did those work out for you, Rock? Like
Yeah.
sometimes it's like you got to put the ego aside and be like, you know, you've been in this industry before. You don't have to come in and be the savior.
Also, WrestleMania didn't need saving.
No, like,
One match had gone off the cards. One match.
yeah.
And there were plenty of people that you could have built into a challenger for Seth via the Elimination Chamber. The Rock didn't need to save shit.
Yeah, like,
And anyone who thinks otherwise is talking bollocks.
yeah, I mean, like right now already, you have Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton in the Elimination Chamber as qualified, and you have eight other guys who are about to have matches in the next like week to qualify. There are plenty of guys who are ready to step up.
And outside of, and here's the thing, right, is they definitely put the focus on Drew, right? But they could have been doing that with anyone. That's one of the reasons why this whole saving WrestleMania thing is absolute horse doo-doo caca. Is I would go so far as to say is there are more people at a high enough level in WWE right now that could have stepped up to that role with just a flick of a switch.
Yep.
Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, Roman, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens,
The Miz.
like hell, Dominic Mysterio, have Priest cash in his briefcase. Have you know what I mean? Like,
There's just so many options.
yeah, shit didn't need saving. Rock's just a fucking
The
greedy
ego is
ass bitch.
the ego is just consuming him. That's essentially what it came down to, or what it, you know, based off
Yeah,
of.
and one of the things that came out of the whole Vince McMahon thing was the naming of Brock Lesnar, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to downplay everything to do with Brock Lesnar, including like almost trying to write him out of 2K24 at this point, which would be interesting.
I actually read something this morning. Apparently, they're doing everything to remove him out of all marketing, but they feel it's too late to remove both him and Vince from the actual game itself.
Yeah. That being said, he and The Rock were kind of the only two go to part time. Do you remember there was that period of time where everything was Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, Rocky, like Cena, right?
Yeah.
All these part timers. We were
Undertaker.
so close to being done with that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You had mentioned that only one match had gotten taken off the card, you know, which was Punk Rollins. That was the original plan. The other apparent original
Yeah.
plan was Lesnar Gunther. Maybe not for the IC title, but that was one of the planned matches. So that match came off the thing. And in the Rumble match, Braun Breaker took all of Brock Lesnar's spots in that match.
Yeah, like beat for beat,
Yeah,
right?
beat for beat in that Rumble match, he came out in the spot that Lesnar was supposed to come out in. He did all the spots in the ring that Lesnar was supposed to do. He was, in fact, supposed to be eliminated by Dominic Mysterio. So like everything went beat for beat for beat, and Braun Breaker filled that role perfectly. So like in a
Yeah.
way, you know, could Braun Breaker be the guy who kind of fills in the Lesnar spot for Gunther at WrestleMania for the IC title? You know, so it's a very interesting thing to watch on how that plays out as well.
Yeah.
So, like,
Yeah.
there's always options. That's the thing. It's like it's not up to one guy to save it all.
Yeah. I just hate that concept.
So, Ben, have we covered everything? Any parting thoughts?
Please, please, please. Can everything calm down for just like a week? I want to have a moment where I don't open Facebook or Discord and someone's messaged me going, oh my God, WTF. We only have 45 minutes at AwesomeCon. We don't have enough time to talk about all this stuff.
I think our it's actually a great thing that you brought that up. So, ladies and gentlemen, we alluded to it on the last episode, but we can actually officially announce it now. We'll keep bringing it. We'll bring it up again later this month on the main episode. But Awesome Mania will be taking place on Saturday, March 9th in room 207B from 4:30 p.m. to 5:15 p.m. at AwesomeCon. Please note that you will need a badge to the con to come to our panel. We will record it. We will post it up later on. But yeah, we're also going to have a special presentation and hopefully a couple special guests on the panel with us.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We always work on those things. But yeah, something tells me we also will probably be starting our panel with statements.
With some statements. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Statement number one. Hey guys, we only got 45 minutes. Let's not keep it all on one freaking topic.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Mike, let's wrap it up.
All righty. Ben, where can the people find you on the social media?
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me doing the video game thing with my friend Jordan over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And you can find the sister show, Submania, Voices from the Grid. Cheers, myself, Michael, and our friends Sasha and Brian, taking a kids show far too seriously. All about Power Rangers over at
on Twitter at @VFTG_PR, and then click on the Linktree link to find everywhere you can find us.
Yeah. And Mike, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions. Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And of course, everything's on the website at txhthockey.com, including this podcast under the X75 Productions section. So yeah, with that, we will be back with an episode later this month.
Yep.
With our boy Matt. So with that, Ben, take us out.
Seriously, 2024, take a week off. That being said, we will leave you as we always do. Words to the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Party on the Pacific Honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace!